It's 12:17, and I intend to be very short today. In Deuteronomy 8:3, it is written, Moses is giving the children of Israel exhortation. And in verse 8, okay, of chapter 8, it says, then he fed you manna. He's telling the people, the Lord fed you manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. By the way, a side message, manna in Hebrew is manhu. Manhu means from whom? It's from him. So manna actually is a short for manhu, which is short from minhu, which is from him. Okay? So it wasn't called bread, lechem. It's not called. It was called from him. Manna was from him. And in order to make you understand that, look, this is what Moses is saying, that he gave us from him sustenance, right? He gave sustenance to us from him to make you understand that, here's these famous words, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. So who quoted that? Yeshua, Jesus. He quoted that. He quoted that when? When he was on the desert being tempted in those 40 days. He quoted it to whom? To Satan. Now Satan did not desist until the third time. All three times, Yeshua answered Satan's challenge or statements with quoting scripture. He didn't quote from 1 Corinthians because it didn't exist. And he didn't quote from Romans. He didn't quote from the book of John or Matthew. It didn't exist. At this point, when this is happening, he has no. He had just been mikvah. Luke chapter 3, he's led to the wilderness. And he stayed 40 days and fasted 40 days. And when he was hungered, the evil one came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, you know, command these rocks to become bread, because he was hungry. And which he quoted scripture. Satan quoted scripture to the Lord. Well, the Lord quoted scripture back to him. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. He was quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. What's interesting is he quoted Deuteronomy three times. He used that book. This is the one nobody wants to read. This is among those that everybody wants to throw away. Okay? You think for a minute. If Yeshua used the book of Deuteronomy to Satan, would he be interested in you knowing about it? Would he be interested in you having that weapon? Would he be interested in you being able to have an already proven silver bullet? And instead, let's make sure that the whole world, the whole believing world, doesn't know anything about those bullets. And let them have straw. They can fight Satan. They can fight me, Satan saying, with straw instead of silver bullets. If you like gold bullets. But they are in the Torah. They are in the Torah. They are in the Torah. Well, the Torah was done away with. Evidently not, because Yeshua is quoting it. Evidently not, because Yeshua quotes it throughout his entire life. He quotes some of the prophets as well, okay? And this morning we heard that he quoted, and he said that no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Joel. That particular portion that I picked doesn't say, you know, doesn't actually tell you that. But he says, like in Matthew 12, The sign that will be given is the sign of the prophet Jonah, as he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, or the whale. The Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. For how long was Yeshua entombed? Well, no, it can be any other number. Okay. You can go ahead and say whatever you want to say. Yeshua said that would be the sign. 3 days and three nights. Not talking about death to resurrection. Talking about being entombed. Be careful what you read precisely what was said. He was entombed just before sundown on the day of Passover. So he actually, when they were by the skin of this chitty chin chin, got that rock rolled, and it was sundown. And he resurrected on the first day of the week. This is not what I'm preaching on, so. In August of last year, in August of 2 years ago, in August 8th of 2020, I preached a message on this parashat. And I entitled the message, Remember and Do Not Forget. I wrote in August of 2020, and I'm quoting what I wrote. Have you ever heard a loving parent sharing his concerns with his older son or older daughter about his or her own welfare? It's a very important message because our children don't stay children forever. And they do become teenagers, and then they become young adults, and then they become middle-aged adults. I'm about to have one. It's middle age. My daughter's not yet middle-aged, but her brother is about to be. So he said. I'm not imputing this to him. He said, I'm turning middle-aged, Dad. I said, that makes me what? Usually when you're dealing with an adult child or an adult person, you don't get loud and you don't get carried away. You usually do not use harsh words because they are entities of their own. And they don't have to listen to you like they did before when they lived in your house. So you do not approach them like, ah! You know, you start that and they'll go, see ya. Or they might say, you know, you can take your R and go back home, which would be totally appropriate. Instead, this is how it feels to parents of older kids. We come in with our tails back here, and we have the puppy face. And we say such things as, don't you think that this would be a more better way, a more wiser way to deal with the situation? And then you go and listen. They don't say anything, you don't either. And if they choose not to say anything, you don't say anything. And you go drive home or go away, and you start praying, Lord, let the words penetrate. Because we got old, and we know something because we're old. Because we've done this, and it didn't work. Sometimes the mom gets the worst about this. Because she's like driven to want to share with her. One of our kids, mine is, still is. Sometimes, on the other side of the phone call, he says, Mom, don't say another word. And she has to like, and walk up the stairs and sit down next to me and boo, and all the crying, all that, because They're people. They have their own way. Well, everybody has their own way. The Lord gave you free moral agency. I don't know that as older children, at the beginning when they just first turned into college and all that, they don't see it. But when they get to be Amelisa's age, they do see it. They see it. They see it. And they begin to express out of their own heart words towards their mom or towards their dad that come from the deepness of their heart. And those are awesome moments. We're getting a lot of those now. It's the return on investment that God's blessed. They could sense, if they were, could see, you know, often there's not, these are not FaceTime calls, that the son or the daughter could see that the parent is pleading with them to make the correct decision. You know, I think that they usually are listening, or at least they give the appearance of listening. And if you're not in FaceTime, you cannot see the eyes going around the world. I don't know. This must be just in for us. But more than all else, you can sense, hear, and see the parents' compassion and graciousness that you wish they would see. Somehow all this seems to ooze out of the parents' heart as they compose expressions of concern, but because they love so much towards their offspring. In the end, this is now from the parents' perspective, you are confident that if the progeny, if the children follow the pleas and teaching of the parent, they will have a more productive and happy life for them. We also realize that if they do not, you are afraid that the warnings the parents will have given, in fact, will come to pass, just like they were given. And when it does happen that way, there's tears and there's concern, but it's usually not the parent who gave that. It's the child who is in the biggest mess of their life. And now it's all over but the crying, right? You've heard that statement. And we parents want to say, but I told you so, and we don't. Instead, most of the time, about all we can do is cry with them. I remember those tears. I remember all of that with my mom when I did wrong in 1968. That's a summary of this parashat. I just summarized this for you. What's going on? What's going on is this parent, this loving Abba, is saying to them, look, this is the way it is. This is, if you do this, you will have life. You will have, and if you don't, you will experience much agony. He begins that process. Let me read to you Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. In verse 12, it says, this shall be the reward when you hear, but the word in Hebrew, Shema, when you hear these instructions and you guard and perform them. And you shomer and do them. Does that sound like na'aseveni Shema to you? Because it's exactly the same words. The TLV says it this way. then it will happen as a result of your listening. That's Shema. That's the word Shema in the Hebrew. To these ordinances, and when you keep them to do them, isn't that exactly what Na'aseh Shema means? That Adonai, your Elohim, will keep with you, hear what it says right here, the covenant kindness. Hear precisely what Adonai said right here. The covenant kindness that he will keep with you. He will shomer, he will guard. Covenant kindness. You know what we call that? Somebody. Favor. Favor. The favor will be kept for you that he swore to your fathers. Not even about us. It was about forefathers. I thought that that was a tremendous statement for the Lord to make. One that we can use. If we purpose to keep it his way, to listen to Shema, listen, Shema, to do and obey and guard, guard Shabbat, guard whatever needs to be guarded, that he will keep favor. Covenant kindness. He will keep favor. Put that in your right pocket. Put something else in your left pocket. Also in this week's Torah reading, the Father speaking. This is the Father speaking to Moses and through Moses. He tells his children, and I mentioned this at the beginning, to remember and do not forget. That was the name of the message in August 2020. Remember and do not forget. Deuteronomy 8:2, it says, you are to remember all the way, that's Haderech, that Adonai your Elohim has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. In fact, he tells them specifically to remember 5 times. These are them. Deuteronomy 7:18, 8:2, 8:18, 9:7, and 9:27. But then he says, and do not forget 4 times. Remember 5 times. Do not forget 4 times. Where are those? Deuteronomy 8:11, 8:14, 8:19, and 9:7. So in the span of half of a chapter 7, chapter 8, and half of chapter 9, there are 9 reminders to remember and not forget. As you get a little older, one of the things that happens is that we tend to forget. And you look at me like, oh, this is a phenomenon for you, white-haired guy. Well, I want to ask you that are under 30 if that has not been happening to you as you went away from 18 and 19. You remember everything. And you get to the 20s, and all of a sudden you're doing, and someone calls you and says, did you remember that this is your anniversary? Huh? I hope we don't have to, you have to remind you what your anniversary is, Glore and Polly. I hope that you remember. Remember lots of things. We don't, so what do you say? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Oh, I think I've heard that out of my mouth a lot of times. Of course, what she should say is, I know you're sorry. Not meaning that I'm regretful, but that I'm a sorry guy. Doesn't it seem to you that Adonai wants to make a point? Does he? If he says it once, if he says it twice, if he says it 3 times, he says it 5 times, he said, don't forget once. He said it twice. He said it 3 times. He said it 4 times. He went past the to witness is everything be established deal here. Okay? So what is the thing that he says in this parashat? I'm actually really close to finishing, whether you believe me or not. He said the following 5 things. Just a summary. The first thing he said is, remember where you come from. Remember where you come from. a lot of the reminders as, you know, you came out of Egypt. You came out of Mitzrayim. It doesn't even call it Egypt. It calls it Mitzrayim. Okay, so it's not necessarily, it was a place, but figuratively is a place that where they worship other gods. That's what Mitzrayim was about. Number two, remember your inheritance. This is good medicine for you guys, okay? Open up wide. Let me get the spoon with the Neosporin, whatever it is, and let me give it to you. Number three, remember the way. Remember how, Derek, remember the way, how you were brought along the way. Number four, remember me. Wow, Yeshua had to say that on the Passover night. Take this cup. And each time you do, don't just recite the words. Remember me. That sounds pretty good. And the last thing that it says is remember what I've said. What you heard. What was it that he said? Well, if he said it, it's his word. So remember his word. There are five supplements right here. Will keep you out of every kind of evil there is. Supplement number one, remember your inheritance. That's knack. Supplement number two, remember where you come from. That's your vitamin D. Number three, remember the way, Haderek. That's your vitamin C. Remember me, the Lord. Okay? Which one's that? Well, I'll say something you probably don't know. Quercetin. And five, remember what I said, my word. Okay? That's your B complex with your A. In other words, guys, take your vitamins. Take your vitamins. And if you take those vitamins, you're going to come through unscathed through the wilderness. As I meditated on all of this, what does Adonai want us to remember? All right, that's what over there. What about us? What does he want us to remember and not forget? Last week I spoke about focusing on him, his character, and who he is. Last week. Today I want to focus on that we are to continue to honor Adonai in our heart. And in our deeds. The good medicine for today, continue to honor the Lord in your heart and in your deeds. Now, I've been listening to her for 43 years. Actually, it's 45. But, she was my wife 43 years ago. So, I could do this or whatever. And I did try that. But eventually, you can't run. You can't hide. Neither can you all. Because that lady stands right here. And she says many, many times, has told us, ask Adonai to give you and us his heart. To see and experience the things that we do that break his heart. Boy, have I heard her say that many times. But also to see and experience the things that gladden his heart. You can go back and check, because we have video even. How many times Marilyn talks about God's heart? Gladdening his heart, about what he feels about it. Listen, as in my gifting, I never thought that way. I really kind of looked at him as a colonel, general, whatever, one of those. And he just said what he needed to be said, and I know it's for my good. And I didn't have to say I love you or nothing. Just obey. Marilyn doesn't, that's not her relationship with the Lord. He's still commander in chief. But her relationship with the Lord is one of, do you know his heart? Because he wrote his heart for you and I. And we can see what his heart, and that his heart suffers when we don't follow things. And that we don't really want to break his heart. Have you not heard that here in this pulpit? Because I have. I sit back there and I get it. I get it. I never imagined God's heart being grieved. It just wasn't my priority. I didn't imagine God's heart would be gladdened. Why? Because I want to tell you a truth. This numero uno right here is exceedingly selfish. I really like my own self. And the Bible does talk about me looking at the mirror and seeing, you know, and saying, I don't look at the mirror because I don't like what it looks like. So I actually don't look in the mirror unless I have to. But I'm worried about numero uno. I'm selfish as they come. I rejoice in his goodness and his favor. But often I'm reminded that the Lord did not give me this as an entitlement. Oh boy, are you going to step on toes? I am most certainly going to step on toes here. Our society is replete with entitlements. Our society is replete with entitlements and subsidies. In my opinion, this is my opinion, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about my island, Puerto Rico. In my opinion, entitlement spelled the ruination of the people of Puerto Rico starting in the 60s. And in the early 70s, I saw the same thing happen in the United States when I moved here. Instead of the beautiful, hardworking community that I grew up in, where everybody worked and loved working and all those things, they had been served poison in their diet. They were being paid to sit at home and not do anything. What was the end result to Puerto Rico? It is the same story for African Americans. It is the same story for Latin Americans. It's the same story for Mexican Americans. It's the same story for Cuban Americans. I mentioned those because I happen to be one of those minorities. And as far as I'm concerned, they ruined my people. They ruined them instead of trying to be about work and all those things. It was about what you could get. What did they do with that spare time? I can tell you what my mom used to say. Idle mind, devil's workshop. It's not in the Bible, but it should have been. It was in Lydia's Bible. And she reminded me all the time. Today, we live in a society that expects and demands entitlements. You cannot let this mindset come into the house of God. You cannot just approach Adonai with an entitlement mentality. I deserve this. Oh no, you said right here in Deuteronomy 28, and we just put the words, his own word to his face. And I give it to me. And I think that's a mindset that we need to get out of our congregation. The time is here where we in Kol Simcha must remember and not forget who he is and how to approach him in his holiness. He is not just a rag doll. He's not Furby. He's not none of those things. Look, Yeshua is not a crying towel. We call him our brother so that he can just, you know, just everything. Well, my brother takes care of everything. We have kind of an entitlement mindset that destroyed my people. I want to tell you that we are about to enter into the month of Elul. Ab is coming to a close. And that we must shema, that is prove that we heard by doing what he said, and demonstrate that he does have a loving, committed remnant, that's you, that cares about his heart, You must become what the Robinson talks about. We have to become people that care about his heart of hearts. What does he think about it? What does he feel about it? Don't worry about what you feel about it. Just give him his due. Present to him what is God's, and he will present to you what he promised here. Let me tell you what he promised. Covenant kindness. Covenant, that's what he promised. Covenant kindness. You can't demand it, okay? When does it come? It comes when we so much care for how God feels, for his heart, that we give him everything. And the most expensive thing I have to give, me, my own heart. So would you do the following? Follow me. Take your right hand, stick it over your heart. Grab it symbolically. Bring it out and offer it to him. If you do that, and you mean it, this will be a congregation that's awesome. This remnant is going to make history. This remnant's going to change the world. In Yeshua's name, amen.